sanctuary. Pure and holy, wide and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living
sanctuary. Oh, sing it unto it now.
Lord, prepare
me to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Is that what you want to be? With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Amen. You love him? It's good to be in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn in your scriptures. Turn back where we've been reading from Daniel 9, verse 20 through 24. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Middle of the week where we can get going over to the, we used to call it at General Motors, you know, you'd work so long and then you get the middle of the week, you call it the hump day, you know, because you was heading down the hill. Well, that's the way it is here. See, we come up on Wednesday and it's a hump day to get going towards the weekend. So we just, you know, that's the best way to do it. But just remember now, the Lord willing, that Richard and I will be gone this weekend up to Brother Joe Pewitt's to be doing some hunting, be there with Brother Byler on Sunday. So remember us, and the Lord will be with us. And Brother Wade and Brother Aaron will be taking the Sunday services. So remember that. And then Brother Harris will be taking the Wednesday service. And, you know, everything will be in order. And there will not be a service on December the 25th. So we keep announcing that to make sure everybody understands and nobody don't show up looking for, wondering why everybody's gone. You know, but there won't be any service on the 25th, you know, and that would be a good time for you to have your Christmas together, because that's that day. Then we'll be having the Christmas together on the 18th, and everything is downstairs of a notice what for you to bring and what to fix and everything. We're having our time together there, and the children will be putting on a program for us, and I've reviewed some of it. Maybe some had wondered a little bit about some of the music that was going to be in it, and I took the tape and listened to them real carefully, and I don't see anything no faster or more than would be like you were singing Hosanna, you know, as far as the style of the song. So I don't see anything wrong with them, you know, anything and all. And so just, you know, pray for the kids that they'll all get together and get it all together for us, and we appreciate that. We really appreciate it. We want them to have the honor and glory out of it, because we appreciate it. You know, and I'll just remember that. And then remember the watch night service. Remember that and keep it in your prayers. I know you already have, but remember Sister Watson. She's in the hospital there in Douglas General. And I talked to her this afternoon, and they don't know exactly what's wrong with her yet. They question some things and don't, but they don't know what's wrong with her. And so just, you know, keep her in your prayers. And you know, Lord willing, we'll probably run down there tomorrow unless she gets to come home. They thought maybe she might come home tomorrow. If she does, then, you know, I wouldn't be able to, we wouldn't go down, but we'll try to go down and see her. She's still in the hospital. But just keep praying for her. She told me that she just, you know, just was just some problems she had. She couldn't get things straight. And, you know, she's being the, her condition she's in and everything, you know, she don't eat correctly or do whatever, then she can go into a coma and stuff like that. So, you know, just pray for her and keep her in your hearts and everything. I think we've got all of it. We're going to have that together on watch night service. Will be on Saturday night, and then Sunday will be one service, and we're going to have a dinner together after that service, you know, for all of us fellowshipping together and all. And we're trying to get everything set now, so the thing is downstairs. You have no excuse for going back home, because we've made all arrangements to where you can stay with somebody. you know. So then make sure you look on the board, and there's names on there, and you that are local that will keep somebody, make sure you put your name on there where they will know. Don't wait till later and say, well, I would have kept somebody. No, you put your name on now, and then that way, you know, it won't be one of those things of later not knowing. See, and that way everybody can stay up here on Saturday night, because we generally 2 or 3 o'clock getting through, time we're eating and fellowshipping and everything. And that way you don't have to drive all the way back home, coming back up, you know, because we want to try to do that this time and keep everybody from being so tired and weary. And the service will be 11 o'clock on that Sunday. We probably won't have any Sunday school or nothing, just being having that one service and everything, you know, and then just be through and go eat together. All right. Pray one for another. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for the day that we're living. Thank you for the word that you've given unto each one of us. Truly, Lord, we can read your word, and it says, behold, I send you. And that you means me, and it means each one of us. It's our own thinking. Elijah the prophet. We thank you, Father, that you did send a prophet in our day to bring the message unto us. And it's been brought now to each and every one of us to where that we can all rest in the word. All we're trying to do is just go over the message and express little thoughts and things to make sure we all understand and to get ready. As we've been reading about Daniel, he wanted to be ready to go. He knew how long it would be, but he wanted to be ready. So that's our desire today, Lord, is to be ready and guide us and direct each one of us in Jesus' name. Daniel 9, verse 20 through 24. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandments came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy holy people, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Now remember what we've been dwelling on. Not just the city, the people, but we've got to talk about the city too, you know, the things that we'll get on tonight. Now 70 weeks are determined. In other words, this is going to happen. It is determined of God. Now what's going to take place? Okay. There'll be 6 things take place. To finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. So you may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, we've been talking, and I want to make sure that you follow with me, that this is to Israel. You say, well, what do we need to know? Well, the seals is to Israel. So what do we need to know that for? But the prophet said we needed to know the plan of redemption. So that way we can study the seals, find the plan of redemption. We can study the sixfold purpose of Daniel to, you know, that was given to him for the children of Israel. And we can, you know, as we study that, we can see the plan of redemption. And I want you to see this point, that what the sixfold purpose does to Israel, the seals will do to you and I. Now, not the natural seals, the things, the revelation. Because this is not, he's not coming to die on a cross to bring 6 things to Israel. So as we studied about it, you know, Sunday afternoon, and this will be part two of the sixfold purpose, because I had to divide it up. And we were talking about, like, finish the transgression. Well, see, it was finished at Calvary. Everybody understand? It was finished there, but it wasn't applied. All right? And sin was brought to an end at Calvary, but it wasn't applied to Israel. All right? Then to make reconciliation for iniquity, that was done at Calvary, but it wasn't applied. And then to bring in everlasting righteousness, that was done back there, but not applied, because that one had a special meaning to it. Remember, if you read the what I asked you to read out of the book, see, to bring in everlasting righteousness, the prophet said it's when Satan is cast into the lake of fire, you know, or excuse me, when Satan is bound for the 1,000 years. Now, that was what we got to that one on Sunday afternoon, and, you know, and we were studying it, because that's what the prophet, he said, now, to bind Satan, see, that will bring in. You can't have everlasting righteousness with Satan loose. So you got to bind him. So he's bound for 1,000 years, right, for your millennial reign. Right? Now, but see, you say, well, what is it to do with us? Because through the revelation of the Word, we find that our transgressions are finished. Through the opening of the Word, we find out that our sins are gone. Through the revelation, because see, you and I, we don't get the literal things that are happening. We're not here when the man of sin sits literally, you know, walks into that temple and becomes the beast. We're already in the rapture. See? But yet we see him as he comes forth to get ready to do that. But at the same time, what's it doing? God is revealing to you and I the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's what finishes our transgressions. That's what puts our sins to an end. That's what makes reconciliation for our iniquity. Because we all know better than to do what we do, or even today we know what better than to do what we do, and we'll still do it a lot of times. Because of the carnality of dealing and living in human flesh. And see, to make an end of sin. Where was sin ended at? At Calvary. You say, no, we're still sinning. Well, I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about what God done. I ain't talking about what me and you doing. It's what God done. See, He put an end to sin. But now watch what I'm saying now. Watch the point and you'll get what I'm saying. See, Israel was redeemed at Calvary, but it wasn't applied. All right, now let me use a something to get you to see the message. Marriage and divorce was preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. But it wasn't revealed to mankind, you know, as what it was until the prophet came. Right? See, I'm trying to get you to see that something can be done, because that's what we're going to get on the next one here about seal up the vision. Because that's where we're supposed to get to, see, is to seal up the vision. Well, it was sealed up back there. This vision was sealed up before man ever received anything. As quick as God gave it to Daniel through Gabriel, then he immediately told him to seal it up in the 12th chapter. And he told him here in the 9th chapter, verse 24, to seal up the vision. Right. Now, see, that can't be understood until the end time. See, even just because God said it doesn't mean it's revealed. He preached six seals in Matthew 24. But nobody knew anything about it until the prophet came on the scene, and he thought he had preached it, but then he seen it, he hadn't even touched it, and had even actually preached the first one wrong. And the Lord corrected him. And he saw then that he brought it correctly, you know, the correction to it. See, the Bible's been sealed up until the end time. Right. Now, listen to what I'm saying. I'm trying to get a point then. See? Just because it's revealed to you and me doesn't mean it's revealed to Israel. When we get out of here in the rapture, God goes to Israel and reveals to them this sixfold purpose. Are you listening? When we get out of here, we're done gone. He revealed. But what are we? We are the bride. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We know the story from the beginning to the end. He said to Abraham even, he said, being the heir of who it's going to be, he said, how can I withhold anything from him? Well, now, if he thought that much of Abraham, how much more does he think of his children in the bride of Christ? But see, it couldn't be revealed till the end time. All right? Now, you've studied this, so we'll try to cover this one, because I want to get to the next one, because if I don't, it's going to be a couple of weeks, all right, before I get back, and, you know, because of the others preaching and the different things and us calling off services a lot. So I want to get it tonight. If I'm a little lengthy, I'll tell you and say, okay, now if you want to go home, go home, you know. And I don't mean to be. I just want to make sure we get a point in of what we're talking about. And I won't cover much on this part of sealed the vision, because that ought to be plain. But now, what have we done on the board? You know. Now, to finish the transgression, when does that take place? It takes place in the tribulation to Israel. After the rapture. Alright? So I've asked you to write on your notes, see? The little things that you have. Write it down on there. This happens here. Now, when will God make an end of sin for Israel? You know, when will He apply? After the rapture of the church. And what is the thing that comes after the rapture of the church? The tribulation to Israel. Because God starts dealing with Israel. And He'll call out the 144,000. And as He does, then watch what I'm saying then. All right. So then right up here on it where you'll know, because when we get down here, it's going to be very vital to understand the dates, the times, the seasons that everybody is so misunderstood of what Brother Branham was saying. I see nothing wrong with what he's taught. I can take you back before the church ages even. The word Brother Brown said the rapture would come in Revelation 4:1. He said the bride is taken up in Revelation 4:1 and not seen until Revelation 19:21. He taught that all the way through his whole life. Way before the church age, before the Daniel 70 weeks came along. And after the seals broke, he still had the same point, because it's on Feast of the Trumpets. Well, see, he said what we need to know is how this lays to where when those seals, we get into there, said, then we'll know where we're at. Well, when the seals open in a literal extent, we're done gone. That's what's hard for people's mind to comprehend. We go up Revelation 4:1 and not seen until 19:21, see, I've been through it with ministers and things. They say, but what about Revelation 10:7? Well, what about Revelation 10:7? Well, that's Brother Branham. Show me where he said that was who he was. Revelation 10:1, he stands with one foot on land and on sea. And that's Christ. Brother Branham says Revelation 10:1 is the same as Revelation 1, I believe it's 13. I believe that's right, but it's in Revelation 1. Where he's standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, he said that was exactly what 10:1 was. That's why it says there in Revelation 10:7, but in the days of the voice, John then realizes the seventh church age messenger, which was William, Mary, and Branham, you know, not to the lady you'll see in age, because we placed that correctly and brought it forth. But he realizes that must be a prophet. So he said, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. That don't put Brother Branham over Revelation 10:1, because he's already said we go into rapture. But you know what it puts over there in Revelation 10:7? His message. Because what's going to Israel when we get out of here? They're not going to pass out Brother Branham's books necessarily. It's like I covered our Sunday. They're going to tell them that they missed the opportunity for sonship, and that God has already come and took a bride in the rapture, and they're done gone, and now they're in Jacob's trouble. But it'll be this message that they'll hear. So Brother Branham said, I believe I'll have something to do with the message going to Israel. He will. But he couldn't go there himself. But see, we take our carnality of our mind and say, but that can't be because of... Well, how come it can't be? If a prophet explains something, remember, he explained something. Just because he explained it, God has to reveal it. Well, no, Brother Dale, when he said it, I believe it, and that's the revelation. That was to Brother Branham. All right, you want me to quote him? It's in the questions and answers on the seal book. He said it's gone from you, and there's no way for you to know it. Now, that's what your prophet said. But see, right around the coming of the Lord, something's going to take place. All right? Now listen, church, then, and look at everything of what I'm trying to get you to see. 70 weeks. That's 490 years, because he covers in the 70th week, when we get to that, that 1 week equals 7 years. Right. So 70 times 7, and that's what Jesus said, that you were supposed to forgive a person. With 70 times 7, that's 490. So Israel was forgiven, but it just wasn't applied. They haven't come into their part of redemption yet. But they will as quick as we leave out of here. God goes to Israel. Brother Randall said it was so close, they'll see that angel. Now this is quoting him, maybe not verbatim, but pretty close. Said, so they'll see him coming after us to take us into rapture. He said, and they think he's coming after them. All right. So now 70 weeks are determined. 70 weeks is 490 years. That's how long God will deal with Israel. So he dealt with them up to Calvary. Then you got the drawing where Brother Branham put it in and showed the church ages, and he put it in and how that they would be the space of time for the seven church ages, and then God will go back to dealing with Israel after the rapture of the church. Yeah. But you see, what I'm trying to get you to do is write down when this takes place, when this takes place, this takes place, this takes place, this takes place, and this takes place. Write it on there. All right. So we know 1, 2, 3, and 4, which is finish the transgression, make an end of sin, make reconciliation for iniquity, bring in everlasting righteousness. 1, 2, and 3 is in the tribulation. The fourth one is right almost at the millennium, because that's when Satan, according to Revelation 20, I believe, isn't it? Revelation 20, gave it Sunday, where Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So right there, just before the millennial reign starts, Satan's bound. Satan's not bound at the beginning of the tribulation. Mm-mm, no, that's why you got Armageddon. You got 3.5 years of tribulation. You don't have 7 years tribulation. Brother Branham never taught 7 years tribulation. He taught 3.5 years tribulation. Throughout the entire message, he taught 3.5 years. All right? But see, that bring in everlasting righteousness is right there just as the millennium is fixing to take place. The last thing, and that's what we covered Sunday, just prior to the millennium is Satan being bound, because the Bible said he's bound 1,000 years. And Brother Brown said he's bound by not a log chain, he said by a chain of circumstances. He said because there ain't nobody for him to work through. Wouldn't that be pretty bad for a beat old devil and have 1,000 years of wandering around and can't find nobody to work through? Now, if he's chained by a chain of logs, you could understand he'd be tied up. You know. But he just can't find nobody to work through. You think that millennial reign ain't going to be something? The devil having to stand by and look at us and ain't no way he can contact the people. I mean, I could preach weeks on that. That would tie the Bible together from Genesis to Revelation. But now listen. Brother Branham says, now I'm trying to get to this one, because this is sealed up. See, this one where it says seal up the vision, that was back there when it was given to Daniel. It was sealed up right there. But it's to be revealed down here. Now watch how close your prophet covered it, so let's just pick up a few of these and then we'll try to hurry. Now, all of these, I told you, will be off of paragraphs because of the different page numbers in the books. But the paragraphs, if we go by that, we can hold it together. So look at paragraph 104 of the sixfold purpose. Now, don't get over in the 70 weeks or whatever. Get over in the sixfold purpose. Paragraph 104. And listen to what the prophet says about it now. All right, he said, now he come to do that. What? Seal up the vision and prophecy. He goes immediately to Daniel 12, which covers and says that there'll be a time of troubles, etc., and the wise shall shine. But then when it comes down in the book of Daniel, of about 1 through 6 or 7, somewhere when it drops down, Brother Brown says, in using it here, he says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Even to the time of the end. All right, paragraph 107 now. What is it? Oh, hallelujah. Do you see it, class? This revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, you see, why so hard to preach? I mean, I want to go somewhere else and then read that. Listen, you say, well, that's making an end of sin, bringing red. The Brother Branham says, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, that's how simple I'm trying to get you to see it. What's going to set Israel free? What's going to bring them an end to their sin? When they see Jesus Christ, we read those things. What's going to finish their transgression? When they see Jesus Christ. And Brother Brown comes here and says, now watch. Oh, what is it? Oh, hallelujah. Do you see it? This revelation of Jesus Christ and His power of His coming at the end time was sealed up until this time. Now watch Him. When He's saying this time, He's doing it in a twofold, because check Him out. We'll read Him and you'll see He's doing a twofold. He's meaning this time when it finishes to Israel. Right? So that's when He's going to reveal Himself to Israel. But He's meaning this time, because it's now being revealed to me and you. So now listen to what He's saying. Sealed up until this time. That's what He's come to do. Now He comes to Israel to show them these things through two prophets. Right. He doesn't come back physically in a corporal body in the tribulation. We meet Him in the air and go up and then come back, and in the millennium He steps His foot on earth. That's what your prophet said He doesn't set His foot on earth till the millennium. So through the two witnesses, they even say, where did you get the nail prints in the hand? They preached Jesus Christ so much to them, they seen they crucified Him. How much is Brother Branham? One prophet came to the Gentiles because that was all that was promised. It's never been that two prophets would ever come. But when it comes over there, there'll be two prophets because the Bible says there'll be two prophets. Like I told you the other day, this big man told me one time, he said, oh, it'll be a Gentile bride and a Gentile prophet. Well, I knew who the Gentile bride was, and I had enough sense to know that he was trying to make himself that Gentile prophet. Because he wasn't talking about Brother Branham. And I told him, I said, Brother Branham said it'd be two Jews. Do what you want to. Sitting at the Blue Bar, Blue Boar, whatever it was up there in Gainesville. Big Bear. Because that's what Brother Branham said, he'd be two Jews. All right? But now listen. Listen to what he goes on to say. He said it's hid from the scholars. No wonder. Now he's talking about Jewish scholars is hidden from them, but it's hidden from the Gentile scholars. Listen. He's hid from the scholars. No wonder. They want to apply, sealing it up, back yonder, to no prophets, everything way back, it won't hold water. But the vision, this vision has been sealed till right here now. See, you and I are going to get the revelation of Daniel 70 weeks. They get the literal happening. But what is it? It's Jesus Christ revealed to you and me. Because what is to them? What ends their sin and finishes their transgression and gets their iniquity done away? The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's all I've ever tried to preach. Everybody tried to make me an intellect. What's intellect about that? The entire Bible is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Going down. Paragraph 109. Just pick up right below. I'm trying to save time where we won't be here so long. Drop right down below paragraph 109 in the next part where it says, but the vision that Daniel had saw down there by the river was sealed up until the end time. It's sealed up. Just like the seals were sealed up. But see, you and I see in the revelation of it before they see it. Listen, if you think he didn't know what he's talking about, look down at the bottom of it. He says it's time, time, and a height. You watch that when we get into Daniel 70 weeks. All right? Let's pick up one more. No? Okay, look at paragraph 110. The end time message will reveal it. Do you think we're going to get a revelation of Jesus Christ and they're going to get a different revelation of Jesus Christ? Now, I'll tell you this much, I do believe, so all right, go ahead. I don't believe they'll get the revelation of Jesus Christ that we get. Because the revelation of Jesus Christ that we get makes us total sonship. And it only makes them servants. And that's why you showed me, like I said the other day, Wade was mentioning that Brother Richard noticed. You show me Israel anywhere past the millennium. It stops talking about Israel. Because the millennium is to Israel. I read you that out of the seal book. It will be the nation of Israel during the millennium. Even Dan and Ephraim in the millennium that was taken out back under because of the golden calves and the thing, or the things that they done. They will be put back in. You got 24,000 Jews to deal with that people don't even know anything about. So Dan and Ephraim will be put back in the millennium, be back in total tribal order. Why? Because back there it said under heaven, your name would be blotted out. But in the Gentile dispensation, he said it's blotted out in heaven. But not to the Jews. That's how much he loves them. But listen, church. He says the end time message will reveal it. The last church, we There you are, oh my. It shakes me to think of it. The mystery. The thing that the church will bat their eyes and says, it's nonsense. The mystery of who Jesus Christ was, not a third person, not the second person, not the third person, but the person of God. See, that's what's going to be revealed to Israel. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and they'll see the Antichrist going into the temple. And remember, all Israel ain't going to do it. Only 144,000 out of all of those millions that's over there is going to accept Jesus Christ. The others will kill them. But God is still so gracious when He comes into the millennium. You can say what you want to about this old boy and the way he preaches, but you better listen sometime. You know, the Bible says we'll sit down at the welcome table with who? That's the marriage supper now. The marriage supper is the welcome table. You know who we sat down at the welcome table? If Brother Tatum was here, he'd shout about it, because he'd always quote that. Every time he'd testify, he said, we're going to sit down at the welcome table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know, then evidently Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's going to be in the millennium, because they're going to be at the marriage supper with us. Who would know better how to build a temple than Abraham? What if Moses is there? Who would know better how to build a temple than Moses? He said, well, what do we need a temple in the millennium for? I spent a whole message Sunday on that, so I'm not going to try to preach on it tonight. The Bible says there'll be one. Brother Branham gave it from Ezekiel 40 to 44. It's in the Daniel 70 weeks book. He gave it. He said that'll be the millennium temple erected on earth. Now, argue with him about it. He gave you the very scripture. All right, when Ezekiel said that, it's going to have one in the millennium. You said, what do we need one for? What would be greater, as I said, to explain Israel the plan of redemption of Jesus Christ? Like we were talking last night down at the house, what would be something if you could sit down there Aaron with Moses and you'd say, Moses, you remember you told him to build an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies? Did you know what you was doing? He said, I'm just doing what God told me. He said, that means justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That means the way into the real kingdom of God, the real temple. Them people want to listen to us when we get there. We've got a lot to do in the millennium. Well, the prophet said there'd be a gospel to the heathen. Need to put that in my pocket. We got to cut up in prayer cloth. But listen. Now let's get off of that in a hurry, all right? Let's go to the next one, which is paragraph 105. Or excuse me, 115. Let's try to get to this last one. Paragraph 115. Now let's see. Here we got time for this last one. Congregation says, amen. The sixth, anoint the Most High. Now he says high, it says holy. Don't worry about it. He knows what he's talking about. Anoint the Most High. Oh my, here is the one. The last thing he is to do is to what? Let's just go back over in Daniel, find out what all he's to do right here. 70 of weeks, what's to be accomplished in this time. Alright? Then you read Daniel 9:24. And he brings down to the time to anoint the most holy. Paragraph 116. To anoint the most holy. Now this may be a little bit strange for just a minute to many of you teachers, but now just hold it just for a minute. Just see how it comes out. This is the anointing, not of a man. Now listen. Jesus is already anointed. Now if you'll read on over here, I've got it underlined, but I'll give it to you in a minute. You remember when Solomon then built the temple and the thing happened, he had an anointing happen with Moses and the thing. But when Zerubbabel rebuilt the temple, he didn't have an anointing. Why? Because the temple is already anointed. It didn't matter if it got torn down. That's how perfect your prophet knows what he's talking about. Listen. This is the anointing not of a man. Jesus is already anointed. that right, congregation? Amen. The book of Acts said that God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost. He went around doing good and healing the sick and so forth. Jesus is already, he is Messiah, and Messiah means the anointed one. Is that right? But here at the end time, he is to anoint the most holy. Now, if it's not the anointing of a man, and he says Jesus was already anointed, so this anointing is to not anoint a people where, well, I told you people don't even know it. They don't check it. Read it. Read Daniel 9:24. What does it say? 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. We got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's our anointing. We'll read right here in just a few minutes. The anointing is on you. That's how much God thinks of you. Listen, let's just keep reading. Paragraph 118. What is the most holy? To my way of seeing it, which I believe I can prove it by the Scriptures, is to anoint the most holy, which will be the tabernacle that will be used during the millennium. Now listen, see why I get it? Described in Ezekiel, the fourth chapter, of the 43rd chapter, first and sixth verse. Let's go back to Ezekiel and find out how he pictures in the millennium. How they will anoint the Ezekiel 43, and let's just read a little bit here now and see what he's going to do in this millennium. God's going to do something in the millennium. Anointing. In Ezekiel 43, alright. And now let's bring that with the first to the sixth verse, and you can read the whole thing after you get home. Of course, you that's putting it down, Ezekiel 43, afterwards. Paragraph 119, now what? Now watch. Description of the temple that is to be built in the millennium. Now anyone, any reader that knows that from Ezekiel the 40th chapter until about the 44th chapter is nothing in the world but the millennium temple being erected on earth. A millennium temple being erected on earth. Now listen. As I said, you say, well, what do we need? See, I've heard this preached. Well, we're the temple. We're the temple of God. We're coming back in the millennium. That solves all that. Well, that wasn't what your prophet said. So now you're going to have to deny your prophet. And you're the great spiritual one. No. And you don't know that the devil on you is trying to get the people to follow you. Just like I said the other day about Moses when he told Dathan and them what was the matter with them. They had their censers off the altar. They were in the line of Levi. Why did Moses, when Moses said, I wish that all of God's people were prophets and spiritual. But when Dathan come up there and said, you take too much on yourself. We're holy just like you're holy. Moses would have said, amen. You're holy. I want you holy. But then he turned to Dathan and he said, would you take the priesthood also? See? You see what people's done in this last days? They're not satisfied with being preachers to take Brother Brown's message and try to deliver it to the people. They've turned their censor, their message, their Bible, their carrier, their idea of the gospel, and trying to take the priesthood. Trying to take the place of Brother Branham. Because that's what Moses said Dathan was trying to do. He said, Dathan, you're trying to take the priesthood. Aaron was standing there. Moses was protecting, but the real priest was Moses. Moses was the one that told God what to do, not Aaron. You know what I'm saying? When he told him a better way to do something, Brother Brown said, I thought it was Christ. But listen, church. Now, we'll read two or three more, but I want you to look at it. So what happens? To finish the transgression will be in the tribulation after we're gone. And there's only 3.5 years tribulation now. To make an end of sin is when he reveals himself to Israel. That'll end their sin. To make reconciliation, when he comes to them, they'll see the nail prints in his hand through those two prophets. To bring in everlasting righteousness, Satan will be sealed up. And you're fixing to step into the millennium. To seal up the vision was back there. But it's to be revealed down here to me and you. Then it'll be revealed to Israel. See, he'll reveal to them who he is. And they'll see their Messiah. They'll see their Christ. And the Bible says they pull apart from one another and mourn like a person losing their family, their children and things. When they see what they done by turning down Jesus Christ and saying, let his blood be on us. I'm quoting Brother Branham right out of here. You're supposed to be reading it. When they see that, they'll pull apart and just mourn for days. But like I told you and showed you in that, Brother Branham uses Joseph. Joseph had a right to tell them guards, cut my brother's throat. Cut him off's throat. Kill every one of them because they tried to kill me. But what did Joseph say? He said, God sent me down here to preserve you. Had I not come, you'd be dead now because the whole land would have been destroyed. Because he gave him, you remember the dreams that he interpreted for the 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of leanness. He said, in other words, the whole world would have been destroyed had Joseph not been sold into slavery. He didn't come out of there mad and hateful and arrogant and all about it. He came out of there loving, crying about his brothers. You wait one of these days when the Lord Jesus sees that 144,000. Remember, Israel's always been the apple of his eye. He blinded them where you and I could come in. And then we act so... No wonder, I know it gets on me and I get arrogant. But no wonder, my Lord. What are we doing with the message that God had delivered into our hands? Well, I'm reading right out of the book where this is going to anoint the most holy is to anoint the millennial temple to be erected according to Ezekiel 40 to 44. So the 70 weeks are determined. So in the 70 weeks, 490 years, Israel is in the millennium when the 490 years comes to an end. So the 70 weeks have got to go to the millennium. That's what your prophet says. Go argue with him. Well, you're teaching it like old brother, I would call his name, but ain't no need of it. He's dead now. He's up north. That's what a man told me one day. He said, you teach it just like he does. I said, I don't do it. Never heard him teach it, but I know he ain't taught it right. He said, how do you know that? I said, because he wouldn't write on the rest of it. That's what I told him. I said, he didn't even know where the forces come on the fourth seal. Because Brother Mode asked him down in Athens, Georgia. Ask the man that taught what I'm talking about. He asked him, said, where do those forces come on the fourth seal? Because that's what he was preaching. He was down there at Peter Street preaching on the fourth seal. Brother Moore come out of the services over there and he said, brother, where did them forces come from? Well, he had Russia coming down and China coming down and this coming down and that. Brother Branham never said nothing about that. Go read it. He said, Protestants and Catholics. Who's gathered around Israel now to try to make them give up? Protestants and Catholics. That's where the battle's at. Because the battle's in your mind. The greatest battle ever fought. Listen to what he says. Paragraph 120. Anointing. Anointing that temple for the millennial reign. Right. Then he goes into Leviticus, and Moses of the anointing, so you read it going down. Paragraph 125, he covers Moses with the anointing. Paragraph 125, listen to what he says. God came into the sanctuary that was to be anointed and was given over to him for the people to come to worship. So to anoint, not thy holy place. Now listen to what your prophet says. Not to anoint thy holy place, but to anoint the most holy place. And we notice that New Jerusalem is the most holy. So that's why it's going to be built. That's why the temple is going to be built. That's why the city is going to be built. In the millennium. The New Jerusalem covers the millennium. But then it goes on to Isaiah 65, goes from the millennium all the way into the future home, which is the New Jerusalem. But go in the future home and find me where God, where the prophet spoke of Israel anywhere. The millennium is the last thing it's spoken of to Israel as a nation. Listen, watch what your prophet says. Now notice that New Jerusalem is the most holy place. And the anointing will be upon the New Jerusalem. Listen. That descends from God out of heaven. Sounds just like he's on the future home, but he's not. He's talking about the millennium. Listen. Prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, the anointing will be upon them. The anointing will be upon them. Read it. Who's the them he's talking about? The New Jerusalem. Who's the New Jerusalem? The bride of Jesus Christ. Because she's prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Paragraph 126. And when Zerubbabel dedicated his temple after it was rebuilt, it was not anointed again because it was already been anointed and been torn down, and it was just instructed again. The destruction that had come to it, it had been instructed again and put up, so there was no anointing of it anymore. When it was one time anointed, that carried on through, and it goes on till this very time. But when God sets up the millennium tabernacle, he will anoint the most holy, not thy holy, but the most holy. Keep reading. Paragraph 127. But when the king takes his throne for 1,000 years, glory, she's over now, the anointing of the most holy will be the last thing take place. When the tabernacle is erected, the resurrection has come, the Jews has returned, Christ and his bride has come. The Jew, the 144,000 are sealed, the millennium has taken place. There will be an anointing when the most holy place will be anointed, the holy, holiest of holies, and the most holy. Anointing on him, he says. Listen. When the most holy place is, when the most holy place is the sanctuary where God lives, between the cherubims, and this time Christ will sit in the most holy place with the anointing upon him, and there'll be no need of the, right? Listen. And there'll need no sun there, for the Lamb in the midst of the city shall be the light. The sun will never go down in that city, as Uncle Jim used to sing, and it never will, because Christ will be that light, the anointed one, and the king will come and take his throne for 1,000 years to reign. Look over at paragraph 129. Read all in between here. That's when the city will be anointed. That's when the New Jerusalem will be anointed, and all the nations of the city. Over in Revelation 22, see, he goes to 22 because at the time now, he doesn't know about the future home. At the time he's preaching Daniel 70 weeks, he doesn't know about the future home. He knows 22 is applying to the millennium, and it does. Isaiah 65 applies to the millennium, and then applies to the future home. Right in one scripture. Revelation 22, he talks about the walls of jasper and the thing. Go over to paragraph 131. Isaiah 65, listen what will take place during this time, that time. And just ask yourself, sinner friend, if you could afford to miss this. Isaiah 65, let's begin with the 17th verse. Listen, everybody close now. This is during the time of the millennium when the Most Holy is anointed. So when is the Most Holy anointed? All right. Write it on your paper and keep it till later. In the millennium. So the 70 weeks of Daniel, the time that's determined for Daniel, goes all the way to the millennium, and they'll wind up in the millennial reign. And the millennium, see, I got it somewhere right here. The millennium is Israel, that's a nation. All right, that's page 419 of the seal book. 419 of the seal book, Brother Ren said, the millennium is Israel, that's a nation. The 12 tribes is a nation, but the bride is in the palace. She's a queen now. Listen. Page 554, seal book. But notice, did you notice? It is to be blotted out. Why? Under heaven there was no immediate sacrifice that would give him the Holy Spirit to let him see these things. He's talking about Dan and Ephraim. Go check behind it. But he did it anyhow in his own selfish mind. Listen. But Ezekiel, in his vision in the millennium, he sees them again in perfect order. Ezekiel, if you want to just put it down and you can read it to save time, Ezekiel 48, 1 through 7. Also read 23, 2 and 29. Ezekiel seeing every tribe just exactly in order. But listen, church. Mark, then, on your paper. Because when we come down to it then, and we start talking about the dates and the times and the seasons, you'll hear me say it over and over. Where does that 70th week end? It ends in the millennium. When does the 490 years to Israel end? In the millennium. Now take your ideas that everybody's got that there's only 3.5 years after the rapture. You see where the people are blinded? Even Daniel, I believe it's 12, about 1, somewhere right along in there, is blessed is he that make it to the 1300 and something day. Why is somebody blessed to make it past the tribulation of 1260 days? Ain't that 1260 days to the 30 days to the year for the 12 months? See, because it's going back then to, you see, the tribulation is still going to be 3.5 years, right? And the tribulation is still going to be during, I'm talking about the 3.5 years, is still going to be under 365 1/4. It won't change the calendar when we go in the rapture. You'll only change the calendar when Armageddon takes place. When Armageddon takes place, you'll change your calendar system. And the world will go then to 30 days to a month out of the 12, making you, 40? I hope that's the correct number, because it's 12 times 30. Yeah. Comes out to 3.5 years. See? In the millennium, it's going to be 30 days to a month. In the millennium, the Jews will be restored. and the holy city that God talked so much of. Oh, that Gershom Solomon on those things, that Rabbi Richmond, he's a priest and all. He's expected to be a little emotional about the temple and the thing. But when Gershom Solomon was speaking about those things, he was a man of war that would cut a man's throat just to fighting for Israel, just at the drop of a hat. He was a warrior. Tank run over him. It didn't even kill him because God told him he had something for him to do. And there stands a military man standing there talking about it. He said, what does it matter who we are and what we're doing? He said, God, I can't help it because God chose us. The man was speaking in an humble tone. And he said, you will be there. He wasn't speaking as those staunch Jews talk. He said, you will be there. And he even gave scriptures how the Gentiles would come to the light. Of course, we know we come to the light first, but he didn't know that. He says we'll come to the light over there. We know we come to the light before then. Seventy weeks are determined, and the last thing is the anointing of the Millennium Temple, and you will be the anointing to the temple. So the temple will already be built when you get back here. Now you want to prove some more of it? Let's just keep on reading then. Look at paragraph 134. And he's reading about it, nothing to hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for there shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, which is Isaiah. I'm pretty sure, right? Isaiah 65. We read paragraph 129. That's when the city will be anointed. That's when the new Jerusalem will be anointed. And then he comes over and we read paragraph 131, where this is during the time of the millennium when the Most Holy. So then what does he do? He creates a new Jerusalem. Isaiah 65. Now look for paragraph 133. Look up the top of the page. They shall not hurt or destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge as the waters covers the sea. That's in the New Jerusalem. That new one, branch, is referred to of the branch of David. He is both branch and offspring. Now, after this, listen, the bride appears after the 70 weeks. I'm reading what he said. After the 70 weeks, the bride appears in Revelation, the 19th chapter, first and the 16th verse. She arrives with her bridegroom, the mighty king. Oh, my. I don't know whether we're going to get it all or... Well, let's just read part of this. Anyhow, here is where the bride will come after this. And after... Now, if you go back over, you'll find after this. Anyhow, here is where the bride will come after this. After the millennium sets in, then Christ comes back with the bride. Right, 1 to 16 and to 19. And after these things, after this tribulation, after the woes, after the seals, after the plagues, after the casting out of Satan, after the setting up of the millennium. And drop right down to the bottom of the page where it's right between the scriptures. Now listen here, you are, church. After she went up in the third chapter, here she comes back. And now the sixth verse. Who's coming back? The bride. Because the anointing is going to be upon her. Paragraph 134. What was it? His people had just crowned him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Coming back to his holy temple, anointed with the presence of God to live and reign through the millennium with his church. Amen. The appearing with the mighty king to take her place at his side, the royal anointed temple. Right down in the middle of 135, and look, and here is the sixfold purpose of his coming. Do you believe it? Listen, church. The anointing in the millennium will be the presence of the bride that comes, which is you and I. That'll be the last thing that takes place, is the anointing of the temple we read. That's when you and I come back in the millennium with him. Because we read, the anointing will be upon her, the bride of Christ. Because we ride back with him into the millennial reign. And the temple is already erected, so they get here ahead of us. All right, now this in plain language. Listen, we go up in a rapture. Israel gets 3.5 years of 365 and a fourth days. They get 3.5 years of that. All right. And during that time, the prophet said, we're at the welcome table. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are still up there with us. But listen, something happens. Because Israel comes and builds a temple. How long would it take for them? Gershom Solomon or Rabbi Rishon one said it wouldn't take a matter of a short period of time for them to build that temple. All they got to do is just wipe off what's there. Because they don't want to destroy that Rock of the Dome. Because the Rock of the Dome is supposed to be the place where that Abraham was to offer Isaac. They want to keep the Rock of the Dome. They don't, you know, the rock. They just want the dome part gone. It wouldn't take them no time. Well, you go out here now and look on the side of the road and you see them clearing off for a building. And man, you go back by there 1 month later and they done got a big old fancy church sitting there. And they done having services in it. Right? And what would it do when the curse is gone? See? Under the curse, we have problems getting together who's going to do what and who's going to work, and he's working, I'm working more than you working, this worker, I'm working, you know. But what about when everybody is in total unison together? Because the millennium temple will be erected before we come. When we step into the millennium, that'll be the end of the 490 years to Israel. So there's not 7 years of earthly time after the rapture. But Brother Brown said there's 1 week left. Because I just explained it to you. 3.5 years is going to be, as far as our calendar system is running, it's going to be under the 365 and a fourth. But to them, it'll only be the 260. That they prophesy, because they're going, the two prophets are going to start prophesying, and they're only going to prophesy for that period of time. Right? Then the millennium will totally be perfect. Because the reason we have it, you heard your prophet, the reason we have, maybe somebody on tape had never heard, the reason that we have 365 in a fourth day is because when the flood took place, it knocked us off axis. I think it's 20-something degrees, 26 or something degrees, that it knocked the world off of axis, and we're wobbling. Let me tell you something struck me the other day. And that prophet kept trying to tell us. He said, there ain't one of them stars out of order. You know that we're the only one that's wobbling? I saw that. I said, as many times I'd heard it said, I said, thank you, Lord. We're the only one that's wobbling. All them stars are still in perfect order out there. They're still running on the 30 days to the month cycle. But here down on earth, we're running out in a wobble situation. See, we go away from the sun and we come back to the sun. That makes you summer and you winter and the different things that's taking place. The church, listen. Where does the 70th week end? In the millennium. Write that down on your paper. When does the 70th week end? In the millennium. Because it's to anoint not the people. The 144,000 receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost when we get out of here. Is that true? Well, it's not anointing them. And it's not anointing us. Because we have the new birth. It's not anointing Christ because he was already anointed. But it's the anointing to the temple. Well, I just can't understand why we need a temple. You set in your mind to where you won't listen. You won't listen to what the prophet said. You're trying to correct him. You're saying he was wrong. He said, well, I'll take what he said over here after the seals broke. We're going to get over after the seals broke and see if he's still teaching the same thing that he was back here before the seals broke. Now, if we can do that, because I invite you to do something, I want you to study that 70th week over and over. Study it. Mark it. And notice exactly how the prophet says and how that Antichrist, now that in Daniel, where it says he'll make his covenant for a week, that is not Jesus Christ. I can show you where Brother Ram used it as Jesus Christ. But in Daniel 70 weeks, he says that he is the Antichrist. Because God don't make a covenant nowhere for a week. But the Antichrist makes his covenant. And Brother Branham, I was just looking at it right on the top of the page when I stopped reading it. Brother Branham said, in the midst of the 70th week, he breaks his covenant. That has nothing to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had 3.5 years back there, 3.5 over here. Now here's your secret that goes with it. Remember, we read in the Daniel 70 weeks, paragraph 50 of the 70th week, he says, 49 and 50, he says, all scripture, prophecy and things, is in a parable. Parable is a long, complicated story with an underlying meaning, sometimes different than surface meaning. I brought my son out of Egypt. That means Israel coming out of the Egyptian bondage. But it meant Jesus Christ when he come up out of down there from, what is it? He was in Egypt, but I can't remember the, because he was come up, you know, and it had to be said of him. He brought him up out of Nazareth. But listen, you'll find Brother Branham saying this before the 70 weeks of Daniel is preached and after it's preached. He said 70 weeks equals 7 years. He didn't say the 70th week equals 7 years or anything. He said 70 weeks equals 7 years. I'll be glad to give them to you and will when we get there. That's made the mass confusion of people's mind to think that he changed his doctrine later. Well, why didn't he correct it? The only statement he made was when they asked him, Brother Branham, you said there was 1 week left. He said, no, 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 nay, nay, nay. Never did I teach that Jesus' ministry was over here in 7 years, in other words. He said, I thought he was 3.5 back there and he'd be 3.5 here. I was trying to get you to see the other day and talking with some of them yesterday about it. See, everybody says, oh, we're under a judgment message. We're the last half of Isaiah 65, or 61. You know, Isaiah 61, you remember where that Jesus split the scripture right in the middle? He read first half, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel, glad tidings, and et cetera, and stop. He said, because the last half is judgment. Is the Jews going to get the last half of the 70th week, or are they going to get the first half? I thought it would be a return of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Because there's only 3.5 years of the ministry of Jesus Christ. Quote Brother Branham, no messenger ever preached over 3.5 years. Because we just read out of the book that it's going to be the revelation of Jesus Christ that is given to Israel. What would that be? The same revelation that Jesus Christ was back there when he walked the shores of Galilee. This prophet's message was not a judgment message except for those who reject it. To reject grace is judgment. You say, what are you trying to say? Jesus Christ preached 3.5 years. When he comes back to Israel, he has to preach exactly the same 3.5 that he preached back there because there's only 3.5 years in the plan of redemption. of revelation of Jesus Christ. See, people try to make it a judgment message. It's only judgment to those who turn it down. It's grace to one person, but judgment to another, because it's according to whether you accept it or not. Let's stand. Come on, Brother D. I've done a little better than I thought I'd do. I thought I'd got to. But I hope you sing. Go back and read it. Brother Brown said the anointing would be upon the bride would be the anointing to the temple. Why? Because that Christ and His church is one. Right? Christ and His church is one. We come back in the millennium, remember, could I preach all night on this? You remember in the Bible where we were talking about it? How that He would be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And how that was a big K and a little K and a big L and a little L? Read your Bible. But when you come over to Revelation 19, when He comes riding back, He's got a name written that no man knows but He. But He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Check that. It's every bit in capital letter. That's the bride riding back in the millennium, because at that time you can't separate God from His people. So we are the anointing to the temple, because it's the Holy Ghost in us that will anoint that final millennial temple. And then what will happen, church? What will happen to us is we go right on over, and then there'll be a future home. After the millennium is over, there'll be a future home. That future home is identically the same thing as the bride, because John described the city, talking about the bride, described the bride, talking about the city. Read your Bible. He couldn't separate them when he got to that place. That's how much he thinks of us, Sister Gail. We're the last thing. We're the last thing to the millennium. We'll be the last thing to the entire world when we walk into that city, or when that city comes down. Now listen, how long could I preach? You know what happens in the millennium? You know that the Bible talks about He stands with His feet up on the mountain, and the mount cleaves and pushes up a pyramid mountain. You say, that's over in the future home. You better hold it to the millennium first. The millennium, it pushes up. But in the future home, it comes forth again and pushes up. And when it does, the city comes down. But in the millennium, the bride comes down. The bride comes down, and that is the city of Almighty God. Church, oh, what a message we've had. What a message has been given us. But they just argue about 3.5 or 7. I don't see anything about the plan of redemption. What puts the Jews in the millennium will put us in the millennium, because it'll finish our transgression. It'll end our sin. It'll bring in everlasting righteousness to us. It sealed up the vision until the last days. But then one day we're going to ride back into the millennium with Him, and we will be the anointing to that. Because you can't separate God and His people at that time. Because that's when it comes up in Revelation 19, where it says He's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's all total in capital letters. Well, I don't understand. I don't understand how come people can't see it. What we got? Seven. How much in the spiral?
Seven.
Number 7 in the spiral. Rapture in our blessed home, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, lift the heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in. That's what we're doing now. We're gathering to the Word.
What will it be riding in the millennium? The word-born bride. Be a great possession over on the streets of gold when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing over that city will be rolled when the redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed gathering in, washed like snow, free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Sing it unto him. Story with their voices clear and strong when the redeemed are gathering in. We'll listen, for they cannot know that song. Redeemed are gathering in. When the redeemed are gathering in, what's like smoke, free from all sin. How we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Singing unto it. Orders to prepare the banquet for when the redeemed are gathering in. Blessed of the Lord when the redeemed are gathering in. What's life low and free from all sin? How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in. Are gathering in. Once like snow and free from all sin. How we'll shout and how we'll sing when the redeemed are gathering in.
Amen. I was trying to find something, because when we were in Israel, maybe Brother Dean can remember it, but it's in, I think it's in the Psalms, or when they come into the temple and they're going up, they sing, there's a certain Psalms that they sing as they were going step by step going into the temple. I can't find it. I'll find it for you later. You remember Reuben told us, he said, that's what they sung. There's so many steps coming up through there. I don't understand all about it. But he said, as they make a step, they sing. He said, they make another step and they sing another verse. They're singing the Psalms as they come. Walking up the steps to go into worship. Each step they walked, they sung a verse. What do you think we're doing now? More people than dying. Nothing I desire compared to. Anybody have a need? You are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compared to you. Sing it unto him and think about it. Lord, you are more precious than silver. You just think about them walking up through there.
singing those hymns, the Psalms. God sitting in the temple saying, there comes my people. Surely he rose up to say, welcome. That's what we do. We sing. You know what they done in the Bible times when they come to battle? You know what they sent first? They sent the singers. Then they sent the ark. The word. Then the armies come. You just think about it. If you was walled up in a place and you was an enemy against Israel, and you look out there and you see them and they say, well, we're going to have a battle in the morning. About daylight, they'll probably come swarming down through here. All of their great warrior battles, you know, all of their armor on, and we're going to have to fight them. You wake up the next morning and you hear something singing. You hear somebody singing. What's going on? Where's the army? You look out and you see them walking and singing. No wonder it says that there was not one bit of life left in us when y'all crossed that Red Sea. All the battle was over. That's where Israel got in trouble at Kadesh Barnea. So who was it? Rahab said there was not one bit of battle left in us when you crossed that Red Sea. All they had to do was go up there and say, boo! Oh, all that behind us. For us to stand here today and talk about Jesus. Talk about Daniel's 70 weeks. Talk about a Savior. Talk about a healer. I listened to Wade today as I was going down to hunting and back up in Tennessee as he's preaching. He was talking about when Randall, the guy, you know, that we hunt with, he died. I'll never say again that I've never seen the dead raised. I used to say that. His eyes was done set. His tongue was out. Wade was feeling for pulse and things and breathing. Tongue come out. We were trying to get 911. Wade said, Daddy, we better pray. We don't need 911. We started praying for him. He reminded me of what I said. I said, Satan, I said, you ain't got nothing to do with this. You get out of here. You ain't got nothing to do with this, Satan. I said, Randall. Begin to come back. See, church, God done that for me. I told you. Some of you didn't hear me. I told you. I was joking with Randall just a little bit. Second about his head being hard. Because he hit my Polaris windshield and busted it. And maybe the first day I was laughing with him was all right, but one day I said it in front of somebody else. I told you, I said, quick as I see him, I'll apologize. I went to him the other day and I said, Randall, I said, I owe you an apology. He said, what for? I said,
for kidding about your head being so hard. He said, it is. I said, yeah, but that don't make no difference, Randall. I had no right to be kidding you about that like that. And I said, forgive me. You know what he said? He said, I like to hunt with you guys. He said, I enjoy hunting with you. He told everybody about it. See, God done that to show you and I that Christ is here. Christ is here with us. That's for every one of us. It wasn't no more my prayer than it was Wade's prayer. It was the prayer of Christ. It was Christ. It would bring a man back to life. Pray for him, because I was talking to him the other day, and he said, Sam, I can't hunt very much. I'm having trouble with my legs. He apologized to us. He said, I'm sorry, boys. I messed up that day when we were down there. You didn't mess up no day with us. Even the people where we got the camper at, the man said, if he hadn't, these two guys hadn't have been with you, you wouldn't be here today. See, church, Christ is here with us. Brother Dean testified tonight about it. Christ is here. Just believe it. Anything you have need of, believe it. See what God does.
Unload me. All things are ready now. Combined I hear. He that hath an ear, the healing.
The last thing to happen is the anointing to the temple. And that'll be your presence when you come back riding with him into the millennium. Do you believe? Then let's believe. Our brother is not asking for his body. You know what he says? I want more revelation. Why does it matter about these bodies? They're going to be changed one day. But more revelation. Father, we don't have to lay our hands on our brother to pray. Because the prophet said when we leave our seats and head up, that's over half of the story. And the desire in our brother's heart for more revelation means one thing, that there's more revelation for him. All I do is lay my hands there agreeing with him. And to bind this carnality of the mind, because that's our trouble. Our trouble is our minds that are carnal, Lord, and we're sorry. Just touch our brother and give him more revelation. He's not asking for riches. He's not asking even for healing of his body. He's just asking for more revelation. In Jesus' name. Go and see, brother.
At the near the evening time is near. He that has the near the evening time is near.
Amen. The time to reveal. The time to reveal. Just remember, we're going to be praying over this, cutting it up, making prayer cloths out of it. I don't know really who left it up here or what, whoever it is, but we just use it for that purpose. And we'll cut it up and make prayer cloths out of it because we're running low. We believe in them. Believe in putting them in your billfold. I'm sure that would people probably laugh when I made that statement one day. I said, take a prayer cloth, put it in your medicine cabinet. You open the door of my medicine, our medicine cabinet at home, there's a prayer cloth tape right in the front of it. He said, that's silly. No, it ain't to me. Sanctify your medicine as well as your food you eat. And watch it be a whole lot better. Watch it make manifest.
And I lift my voice to worship, oh my Lord, rejoice, joy my King in one.
Father, our sister has a need, and we don't have to know the need. We know the healer, the savior, the deliverer, the all in all, and Jesus is your name. So now we just lay our hands upon our sister, agreeing with her that whatever she has need of is already a finished product. You've made an end of sin. You've brought in everlasting righteousness. You've sealed up the vision. Now we lay hands upon our sister, agreeing with the anointing of the Holy Ghost, that whatever our sister has need of is a finished product. In Jesus' name.
In my...
We decided to close our business on December 23rd, and I need to sell everything.
Father, you heard our brother, Lord. So you just send by the people to take care of all of the needs. We look forward to the testimony. And to believe in you, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Oh, my
soul. Malachi said a book of remembrance was written. The people spake often one to another, and a book of remembrance was written. Let's pray together and remember this from the prayer clause. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for tonight and for your love unto us. We thank you for your word. We ask you now that you would just be with this as we lay our hands and we've carried this and been here on the pulpit, Lord, that we need prayer cloths. You said they took aprons from Paul, so we carried this on our possession, Lord. We ask you that you would just come now and Lord, anoint this prayer cloth. And Father, as we send them out, then be unto them whatever they're asking for. We believe you. We thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for you, Father. And just reach down and touch each one. Father, be with Sister Watson there, Lord Jesus, that you would deliver her from that condition, whatever it be. Let everything be all right. Father, just heal all the brokenhearted. Manifest your word among us. And guide each one of them. Bless the people on the way home, Lord, and give everybody a safe journey. Let your light shine with us in Jesus' name. Now remember, they made the announcement that about something about the Wendy's cup. If you buy Wendy's drinking cups, then they'll be able to put them together and maybe we'll get away the flight ticket. So if you need cups, you know, go to Wendy's and get the cup.
And then,
yeah, you gotta get like a medium drink. Well, that's all right, you know. I like Wendy's myself. just remember that. Brother Dean?